This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 246 for Monday, April 8th, 2024.
This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking. That's all I got. It's a pretty straightforward
episode. We'll intersperse our random shit throughout the crazy news so you don't have any chance to skip it this week. We're going to talk about the case of the stolen tattoo, some Lego mug shots, some ineffective road signs, saving a baby hedgehog, imaginary friends, and the dream job of all dream jobs.
Nice.
I don't know if I put the right emphasis there, but it's what I decided to go to at the time.
It was good. You did a great job.
I appreciate your vote of confidence.
I don't care what everybody thinks. My apologies, but Harrison is not available to help with the intro tonight.
I was just thinking, something feels different.
I didn't see his head behind the desk. Should be more. No, he's not hiding in here. They're downstairs. Kelly's still at school, so she's at class right now. I have the boys downstairs.
Smoking.
They're smoking, doing drugs, stealing
drinking
cars.
Drinking some Centauri.
Jacking cars down there. I don't know what they're doing. Drinking Centauri. They better not be drinking my Centauri. That stuff. I went into, because I didn't get a beer for the podcast. I went into, and I had to run an errand today.
Yeah.
So I went and did my errand, and then I'm like, oh, I need to get a beer. So I went into a liquor store that I had never been into before.
Yeah.
And he had not a huge selection, but some decent ones. And so I went in there and then I looked. There was another bottle of Centauri that he had on the shelf, but he was charging I'm like, shit, any more than this, I might as well live in Virginia.
I saw something the other day that had a whole bunch of stuff and it was pretty cheap. So I need to go over there. I'm still getting through my birthday bourbons that Melissa picked up for me. So
nice.
So I'm still getting through those. But anywho, well, shit. Well, hopefully, and I'll pick up that if I can get it. I'll let you know what the price is for the Centauri. And I saw they did another limited release the other day. And my local distillery released one of their limited releases. So I just haven't felt like going anywhere.
No, so, I hear, you know, I get in those moods too. I didn't.
Yeah.
This week, the boys have been off for spring break. So I worked from home a couple days this week, today being one of them. Tomorrow, I got to go in though.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I got to go in, and it's Friday tomorrow. So I'm going to go in. We're going to work for a little bit and probably go to the bar with Chris. I don't know.
One thing I miss about going into the office is driving past the Starbucks that I feel like I have to stop in at every time. I might go in the morning. Maybe I'll do that.
Although we impulse bought $100 worth of syrups the other day, and I've been making today. I did a caramel and vanilla latte. That was pretty good. And
did you buy the little thing of the foam? What is it? The cold foam you can get? Did I send you that? I think I did.
You sent it to me. No, I didn't. Made a latte. Nothing,
yeah, no,
nothing,
that's good.
Nothing too exciting.
Yeah.
Frosted milk.
Yeah, I've been doing iced ones.
I've been doing this here and there. Like if it's a little bit warmer out,
yeah,
and it's the weekend or something, I'll make the ice one, and I do like those. But
maybe I'll pull the frother out and do the hot ones. The ice ones, I just shake it with the oat milk. So I'll try it. But anyhow, well, shit, we got a bunch of crazy news since we weren't here last week. We got stuff backed up, so I figured we'll get into our beers and let the random bullshit just kind of weave throughout the show.
That sounds good. I like random bullshit.
I can tell I'm out of practice. What am I supposed to push? Oh, this one.
There's the Hey Bartender, another beer.
Oh, no, not that one.
Hey Bartender, that one. Another beer.
Oh my God.
Hanging out and having some beers with friends, which I gladly do, and which I fully embrace.
We drank beer, my friends and I, boys and girls. I liked beer, still like beer.
I was surprised at how vocal he was about the fact that he likes beer.
I just sent you a picture of the two buttons, and you'll look at it and go, now, how did you miss which one to click? But it's been 2 weeks. You can tell
when we're drinking Overload.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then all the little beer mugs there. So that's the one I clicked.
Naturally.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. I'm checking into my beer.
That I have. Good point. I took a picture, but.
246. I feel like it was 246 last time, no?
Well, I'll double check it because I brought the episodes up also from last possible. Time.
No, it was 245. The feed episode was 245. Yeah. Never mind. Never mind. I got ahead of myself there.
See?
All right. Very exciting. So this week I have, going back to our friends at New Holland, and I have a Dragon's Milk Reserve Coffee Chocolate. Ooh. Not to be confused with coffee and chocolate. It's just they don't concern themselves with conjunctions anymore. It just lists. It's like a grocery list under
it's
the.
Close enough.
It's the Dragon's Milk Reserve Coffee Chocolate, and let's see here. This is one of their new takes on the Dragon's Milk. Yeah, it says here the Dragon's Milk Reserve is a treasure trove for the adventurous spirit. Each entry in the Reserve series is crafted to push the boundaries of our signature stout. An epic journey awaits. The adventure begins with a slumber in select bourbon barrels, imparting notes of vanilla and oak to this brew. If you drink it out of a burnt mug, you can taste the oak even more. This edition of it doesn't say that. This edition of coffee chocolate is powered by our friends at Madcap Coffee. Our brewers worked with the team at Madcap to select their Bolt House blend, a blend of Central and South American coffees, for this limited brew. The deep, chocolatey, and syrupy notes from this artisan coffee pair perfectly with hand-selected Ghanaian.
Ham-selected.
They're from ham-selected. There's ham.
Rum ham.
Ghanaian. Cacao to create a delicious and unique take on our legendary stout. Raise a glass to victory. It's 11% alcohol by volume. It's a coffee stout, Madcap coffee and chocolate is what it says. So I'm expecting coffee and I'm expecting chocolate. We'll see if it delivers. I do like the Dragon's Milk Reserves for the most part, and on the nose, maybe a little bit of hints of coffee and chocolate in the nose.
Yeah.
So that's good. I smelling the smells. We'll taste the tastes now and tell you what
all it, the smells.
All
the,
we're now we're going to taste all the tastes. Ooh, that's a heavier dose of coffee than I was anticipating. Oh. It almost like it really kind of hits you. It almost tastes like coffee chocolate, like, kind of like a mocha.
Yeah.
In the form of a beer. Like you get, oh, I gotta taste it again.
It's coffee chocolate.
Damn, it kind of delivers on it. You get both. It's a heavy dose of coffee. I definitely I'm getting the coffee with a slight hint of chocolate that kind of lingers. So pretty good. I'm gonna rate this. We're gonna go 4.5. It's a pretty good beer. They did a good job with it. I do like the Dragon's Milk, but I'm gonna lock it at 4.5. Which, by the way, is a damn good beer. So 4.5. A couple years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, maybe it would have pushed 4.75. But I got to be pickier these days.
Yeah.
Lest Robert judge me. And we've had Dragon's Milk several times on the show, and you know, I'm gonna do New Holland. We've had the first Dragon's Milk I've had on the show was the original Dragon's Milk on episode TTB 005, Tree Seeds, episode 23, Love to Dough. I had a Mad Hatter, episode 27. Robert had a The Poet from New Holland, episode 43, Ring of Idiot Thieves. I had a Cabin Fever, episode 54, Chocolate Ass. Robert had a Baltic Anomaly, episode 103, Dillo Cleaning Wipes. I had a Dragon's Milk Reserve Orange Chocolate, Episode 104, Mermaid Enthusiast. I had a Dragon's Milk White. Episode 107, Sheep as Dolly. I had a Dragon's Milk Reserve Maple Oak. Episode 111, Code Brown. I'm going to go faster because I forgot how many times we've had New Holland on the show. I've had a Dragon's Milk Reserve Raspberry Hibiscus. Episode 144, My Butt Just Farted. I had a Dragon's Milk Solera. Episode 145, Santa's COVID. I had a Holiday. Episode 146, Celine Dion. I had a New Holland, a Dragon's Milk Reserve Bourbon Barrel Aged with Stout. And Chai Spices, that's when they still use conjunctions. Episode 150, Pitchfork Home Invasion, I had Peanut Butter Butter, Peanut Butter Poet. Episode 167, Best Taco Battery, I had Dragon's Milk Reserve, Salt Caramel. Episode 181, Holiday Maker, I had a Bananas Foster. Episode 185, Trouser Snakes, I had a Dragon's Milk Reserve, Bourbon Berry Stout with Stroop Waffle Cookies, Coffee, Caramel, and cinnamon. And episode 213, Ragdoll Bride. I had a Dragon's Milk Reserve Barrel Aged Stout with chocolate, marshmallow, and graham cracker. Again, still using conjunctions at this point. Episode 231, Neckbeard Ninja Brigade. I had a Dragon's Milk Reserve Oatmeal Cookie. And then episode 246, I had a Dragon's Milk Reserve Coffee Chocolate because they stopped using conjunctions
coffee
this
chocolate
year in their brews. So there it is. I have had it a lot of times. Feel free to cut that out if you want, Robert. But nonetheless, I enjoy just like reading the old episode names, if nothing else. So now let's talk about Founders. How many times? No, I'm not going to.
No, you can't do that.
We can't do Founders. Founders, well, Southern Tier. There's some that it's anyway.
Well, it's almost as bad, or it's getting there, as I go back to my friends at Hubbard's Cave. And I've had a bunch of those. I think I got some of them because my local shop was closing, and I grabbed some. And I've been a fan of their beers since I've first encountered them. And this time I've got something called the Vanilla Everyday, and Everyday is Everyday, like Sunday or ice cream Sunday. And it is a Vanilla Everyday Imperial Double Pastry Stout. And I grabbed these, and I didn't remember having them. But then I went to check in because I drank one the other day, or somewhat recently. I got it open here, and I noticed that I have definitely had it. And then it said, "Let me see what my check in said." I closed the tab because I can't have too many tabs. Vanilla, boozy, and something cherry maybe. And I had this on the 3rd of September, 2022, at the 8 Degrees Plato Beer Company. Seeing if you recognize where that is.
Oh, you stopped like you needed me to say something. Wow, cool.
That was in Detroit. We were walking around. We had been to Founders.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You know what's funny? I was like, that does sound familiar. That's right, because that was there was the beer store or whatever, the liquor store that they had up front, and in the back they had a little bar area. That's right.
Yeah,
I remember that.
So I had this, and I rated it very highly. So
it was smooch.
Well,
we were already several beers in, so at that point we had already made multiple stops. I believe it was Founders, then Jolly Pumpkin.
Yeah.
So at that point they all tasted pretty good.
We went to all the container places. We were walking around and we were so lost. But anyhow, it's and Untappd doesn't really tell us a whole lot. And it probably is because the Hubbard's Cave doesn't really tell us a lot. But it's a 12%.
Let the beer speak for itself.
Absolutely. 12% alcohol by volume.
Nice.
Vanilla Everyday Double Imperial Pastry Stout. And it just says Imperial Stout with vanilla beans, so not a whole lot to it. I'm going to do my usual sniff it, smell it, see if it lives up to how I rated it then, because, like you said, we were several in. I get vanilla on the nose. It's subtle.
It's good.
But
have I had this one, too?
Good question.
I mean, I can check while you're doing your beer thing.
You can check. Well, I'll check into it here in a second. I don't get a whole lot I did. Vanilla in it. And I think there was one I had a couple weeks ago where I did get a good bit of vanilla. So that's kind of missing. But I do actually get some chocolate, and it's got a bit of a, almost like a bitter chocolate. And that's why I think that review I said that maybe it had a little bit of cherry, because there's a touch of some tartness in there. So yeah, vanilla, boozy, and something cherry maybe. I don't quite know what it is. It's almost like it's got a dark chocolate in there, and the flavor profile in Untappd does mention that. Sweet chocolate, thick, boozy. So I actually get a bit more of that than I get the vanilla, maybe just because vanilla is not really overpowering. When we were walking around then, I rated it a 5, and I think I hesitate
and I
to
did
pull
too.
It. I hesitate to pull it down from that because it's really good. I still could use more vanilla in it, but it's delicious. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm gonna let them slide on the fact that there's probably not enough vanilla in it, but rate it. And I would grab these in a heartbeat if I saw them. I'd pull it off the shelf. It comes in a 2-pack, so tends to be fairly pricey if you get it. But I fight that battle more than you do, I think. But putting it up to a French Toast Bastard or something like that, it's really hard to do. And those are solid fives. This is a solid 5 in its own way. So I'm going to leave it there and check in with the asterisk that I'd like to see a little bit more vanilla to it.
Nice. If they add more vanilla, would you rate it a 5.25 then?
Absolutely. I would lower every other rating.
I mean, you, Dave, and I all rated it a 5 when we had it 8 degrees Play-Doh.
Too funny.
So I'm just saying, like, at least that day. It didn't get worse since the last time, so you can't hold it against them like, oh, it's only a 4.75. It's the same beer.
Yeah.
You know? But again, it's what was a 5, even a couple years ago, may not be as close to a 5 now, simply because it's so much good beer out there. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, anyway. I think I was looking in my fridge. I got a lot of like random things in there, and outside of a like one
so
I
do
brought
I.
down, I don't have much left. I'm gonna have to figure out some place to go, and maybe this weekend. But I need to find some other things because I've got some hodgepodge, and I got some stuff that people gave me that I think one of them said it was dated 2017. So I'm a little afraid to drink it, but we'll see. I might, because one's a giant CBS bottle, and one's like
nice.
An old school KBS bottle.
Well,
it's like the old label on it. So I'm thinking, I'll try it.
So I have a bunch of random stuff too in the fridge, and I think part of it is because, you know, over the past, I don't know, when we first started recording this podcast, I remember I was still getting into the craft beer thing.
Yeah.
And so, and obviously since then I've gotten into it, but now I'm getting into more of the bourbon whiskey thing, and I still enjoy beer, but I mean, I thought, I'm like, man, should I make, like I was making Sazeracs over the weekend. I'm like, should I make a Sazerac tonight? But I'm like, I honestly just didn't feel like doing it. So yeah. I did. I brought 2 beers up with me. But what I am noticing is it used to be, I went to the liquor store and I bought a bunch of beer.
Yeah.
Now it's, I go to the liquor store and I'm like, oh, that looks like a nice bottle of bourbon. That looks like a nice bottle of whiskey. That looks like a nice rye. And so I'm buying more of that. So naturally, I'm drinking more of that stuff, and I'm not drinking as much of the beer as I used to. And so, but I still appreciate it, and we still have a show to do. So, I mean, you know, I'm going to have to keep drinking beer for now, at least.
Well,
no, and I enjoy it. I do enjoy beer. It's not like I enjoy beer less. I just, my palate has shifted to where I'm also enjoying other things more.
Yeah. Well, and that's what the thing that I've been fighting with the beer, like this is the, you know, a stout, but over the weekend when we were out doing things, I found that I was really craving the New England IPAs, or the really fruity kind, pineapple, melon, like those. And I had several of those when we went out. That just seemed like the right thing at the time. And I'm not really going back and forth, but I find at different times I like that. And yeah, I can make myself an old fashioned and enjoy those. And but yeah, sometimes it's just nice to kind of hang out with a beer. So yeah, well maybe one time we Well, I don't know that we can really do an old fashioned review the way we make it, but we'll see. We might switch it up here from time to time.
You never know. We could. Well, the problem is as well is you can pick up a beer for a couple of bucks. Like you can go and be like, make yourself a six pack for, you know, whatever. You start having to find a new bottle of bourbon or whiskey every time we record. This is going to be very expensive, particularly for you. And so
no, we've got other ones. We just might not be able to do the same ones. And the other thing is, like, if we did an old fashioned, it'd be hard for, like, if I said that the Hubbard's Cave Vanilla Every Day was one you needed to go, you could go to your store and grab it. If we do, sure. Like, oh, I'm going to make an old fashioned, and I'm going to use, and I got the ones that you sent me, so I've been trying those. But like, oh, I'm going to use cherry bitters, and I'm going to use it. Like, nobody can go and replicate that. So it's not like you could. Now, if you just put it in one of the Glencairn glasses and say, hey, we're going to try it. Like, yeah, I can. It's either oak or vanilla or whatever it is. Like, we could do that, but. I think as far as making a cocktail, it'd be really, really hard to share it enough that somebody can go, oh, I'm going to make that too, and it's going to taste like what Robin and Rob had.
Well, I mean, we've had hundreds and hundreds of beers on the show, and so...
Oh, well.
That's what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Well, we're going to do crazy news, the only thing I can think of. Yeah.
That's one thing we could definitely do.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
I don't know that there's any really order to these, so.
Yeah. Do you want to start?
Oh, you start? Usually start, so I'll let start. You keep at it.
I can start. So we're going to Friends at the Smoking Gun. In this particular, we're going to Florida. It's good to start it right in Florida at the very beginning. We're going to our friends at the Smoking Gun, where a man tried to steal a Waffle House tattoo. Police alleged.
Cut it right off the guy.
Meet Max Alexander. Oh, Jesus. Cringe Cant. K-R-E-J-C-K-A-N-T. Max Alexander Cringeant. Cringe Cant.
Well.
Cricant. The 33-year-old Floridian was arrested Saturday after he allegedly refused to pay a $250 tattoo he received in the ink from Ink God's shop in St. Petersburg. Max K. was reportedly under the influence. Wow. Well, that's shocking. When he got to the Waffle House, logo tattooed on his right calf. The restaurant chain's emblem is yellow and black, Max's tattoo, about 5 inches wide, was gray and black. Since he did not want to pay an extra $100 for a yellow ink, said Ink God's owner Neil Marcus. When it came time to pay for the tattoo, Max, seen at the right, said refused all options to satisfy his debts. Cops reported. Including sexual favors. Police frisk of Max K. turned up only $6 in a driver's license in his bag
and nothing on
his person. Charged with theft, Max, who lives in nearby Clearwater, bonded out of jail last night after posting $150, which would have covered the majority of the tattoo. He has pleaded not guilty to the misdemeanor count. In addition to his fresh Waffle House art piece of evidence, he really does have a Waffle House logo on his leg. Max has several other tattoos, including a black and white tribute to Insane Clown Posse on his forearm. Oh, he's a juggalo. Oh. Marcus said customers occasionally try to walk out without paying for tattoos, but that usually occurs during spring break, not the holiday season. Holiday season. When is this from?
Well, don't worry about what month. What year is it from?
Oh, it's from December of 2023. So, I hope everything turned out all right for him.
That's right. He probably went ahead and got the yellow filled in by now.
Probably. He came in with the extra money. To get it
Here's
yellow.
$100. I mean, can you throw some yellow on this Waffle House?
Man who received Waffle House tattoo. I was looking to see if there's been any updates.
Well, like, yeah, his name is easy enough to search, so.
Kretschkant.
Yeah, let me Google Kretschkant.
I did. And I'm looking. The last update was in December when this event, because nobody gives a fuck except us. We care. I hope he's all right. His black and white Waffle House logo. He didn't want to pay. You know, if you're gonna steal a $250 tattoo, why are you worried about an extra $100 just to make it yellow at that point? Like, just steal a $350 tattoo. It's still a misdemeanor. I mean, if you're right at the cusp of it becoming a felony, then I get that.
Too funny.
It just seems like good business to have them fill it in yellow. It's skin colored. I don't like it.
Flesh colored. Yeah, I did.
What color is your tattoo? Black and flesh.
Yeah, I left his name in there, and then I put 2024, and it's still there's no updates.
Nothing's been updated since then. Unfortunately, we don't know what's going on with Max.
Kretschkant.
I don't know.
This one was funny, and I think it came across my feed on the Twitter, where I get the pop ups from my friends at the Huff Post.
Oh yeah,
and it had me cracking up, and I thought it would be perfect. And it tells us Kelly's department blocked from using Lego mug shots, and then I had to look. I didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Lego has asked the Murrieta Police Department to stop using Lego heads and emojis to cover people's faces and post on social sites. So rather than,
funny.
A Southern California Police Department has been handcuffed by Lego after the toy company asked the agency to stop adding Lego heads to cover the faces of suspects in images it shares on social media.
The Lego company's being fun police, unfortunately.
Too money. Murrieta Police Department has been using Lego heads and emojis to cover people's faces in posts on social sites since at least early 2023. But the altered post went viral last week after the department posted a statement about its policy, prompting several news articles and later the request from Lego. Watered faces, the depot March 18th on Instagram that featured five people in a lineup, their faces covered by Lego heads with varying expressions. So if you watch the Lego movie, it's very much like that. The post went on to reference a California law that took effect January 1st. Limiting departments and sharing mugshots on social media.
Everything is awesome.
The Murrieta Police Department prides itself in transparency with the community, but also honors everyone's rights and protections as afforded by the law, even the suspects. According to U.S., or across the U.S., law enforcement agencies have often posted galleries of photos for Mugshot Mondays and Wanted Wednesdays to social media in efforts to bolster community engagement. But experts increasingly point to the harmful effects of putting such images online. For people awaiting trial, mugshots can carry a presumption of guilt. And for everyone seeking to move past a criminal conviction, the images can make it hard to get a job and haunt them for the rest of their lives. Under California's new law, police departments and sheriff's offices are now required to remove any booking photo they shared on social media, including of people arrested for violent offenses within 14 days unless specific circumstances exist, such as the person remains a fugitive and an imminent threat to public safety. This is a really long article. I got to catch my
You're
breath.
Doing great, though.
It builds on a previous version that took effect in 2022. The prior law prohibited posting mugshots of all non-violent offenders unless those circumstances exist.
Excuse me.
It also said the department should remove mugshots already posted to social media, identifying any defendant who requests it if he can prove their record was sealed. Blah, blah, blah. They had internal discussion about posting photos. And March, the toy company, reached out and respectfully asked us to refrain from using their intellectual property in a social media content, which, of course, we understand and will comply with. Currently exploring other methods to continue publishing our content in a way that is engaging and interesting to our followers. LEGO did not respond to multiple emails requesting comment. And let's see if there's anything else important here. They want people who are being paid with their tax dollars to put up LEGO faces on people so it can be shown on social media. While they should be doing other things, it could be protecting them. It doesn't take very long. While Murrieta's use of LEGO heads followed the law... Boy, my eyes are getting bad. I almost read that something different. Jackson said other agencies are trying to find loopholes by posting images showing suspects in the back of police cruisers or handcuffed, arguing that they're not the same as booking photos. If law enforcement wants the public to trust them and wants them to support, as they say, they want to implement law and order, how does the act of gamesmanship of trying to skirt the law themselves help them in achieving that? The end.
Go to British Columbia, where report impaired driver's sign destroyed by impaired driver. So there was a report that an impaired driver's sign was destroyed by
an impaired driver. Each other.
Victoria police arrest truck driver who left the scene after hitting the sign. And there's a picture of a truck that's all smashed up with a report impaired driver's sign. Like, it's almost like it's a...
It's
like
weird that it's a pickup, too.
Tire.
I won't say that. I know you get mad.
You know what? An impaired driver was arrested in Victoria after allegedly hitting a report impaired driver sign with their pickup truck. West Shore RCMP said... That's Royal Canadian Mounted Police, by the way. Said they received a call from a witness... Around 9:55 p.m. on March 21st, this was more recent than the last story, who told police they had seen the driver speed onto a sidewalk and crash into the sign before driving away. Police officer attended the location of Craig Flower Road and Admiral's Road in the community of View Royal, about 6 kilometers west of Victoria, where they found the sign crumpled on the ground along with the license plate from the vehicle. Moments later, he was notified by Victoria police that they had stopped the driver believed to be responsible. So he actually picked up the license plate and the sign.
Sounds like he was irresponsible.
RCMP Corporal Nancy Sagar said, adding that he then. Nancy, I don't know if I trust that. He then placed the sign in front of the impounded vehicle and took a picture.
It's a setup.
So he placed it there. That makes sense. It's just ironic, right? The one sign you crash into happens to be a report impaired driver's sign, and then you leave your license plate behind. It's like you're just begging to be caught. Sagar said that although the photo snapped by the officer does offer some comedic relief, the act itself was dangerous and it is unfortunate. It is fortunate the driver was stopped before causing further damage to other signs or injury. Riding up onto the sidewalk, there could have been a pedestrian there, she said. Sagar had an investigation into the incident. Sagar said the investigation into the incident is underway. And there we go.
Too funny.
Yeah, I mean, it is. There's a certain amount of irony to running into a report impaired driver's sign. It was strategic, though. He hit the sign to remove it so people didn't know to report him.
Well, that's how it happens.
Is it, though? I don't think it is.
Is that supposed to? It's not like it's an impaired driver, like, welcome here sign. Like a target, like a bullseye.
They should have like impaired driver's crossings, like they do for deer.
They should. Now, this next one's going to take us to our friends at the New York Post. And listener Holly suggested this one. She sent it to me. And then you sent it over, and I had to laugh because I had it on there. And it's pretty funny. And I you know, you,
Holly and I were in, we have some synergy.
You're in sync. Although I have to look to see if yours was from New York Post as well. But it tells us from, again, nypost.com, animal lover rushes a sick baby hedgehog to the vet, only to find out that she's been caring for a hat pom-pom.
I need more information here. How does this... you know me. I read the headlines. Yeah. I don't read the stories.
We go from there. So as long as this hat pom-pom doesn't end up in a fire, you know, while stricken to a wheelchair, I think we'll be fine. A tender-hearted animal lover spent an entire night tending to what she thought was a sick baby hedgehog, only to find out that it was nothing more than a faux fur pom-pom. The elderly woman had rushed into action when she spotted what she believed was an abandoned critter on the side of a road in England. After a night without witnessing the puffball move or eat, the Good Samaritan rushed to Lower Mosswood Nature Reserve and Wildlife Hospital in Cheshire. This is definitely going to be in the show art, I'll tell you that much. It was the first admission of the day. The lady came in with a box. And I can imagine, I see the picture. Yeah, it's got like newspaper under it. Came in with the box. And she said she found this baby hedgehog on the pavement, and it was cold, and she picked it up. Wildlife Hospital manager Janet Kotze recalled about the bewildering incident. Oh, damn it, my notes thing is acting up funny. I think I updated. I was trying to figure out if Janet Kotze knows Alexander Krejcant, but I don't think.
Probably.
Probably her brother. It was the first admission. Oh, I read that. I was alarmed that it's very early there for baby hedgehogs, so I was a bit concerned. I took the box from her and took it through to the triage, which is a separate room. I opened the box, and well, I couldn't quite believe what I was seeing. I thought, it's definitely not a hedgehog.
No, it's very furry. Hedgehogs have quills.
Perhaps it's some sort of fluffy creature. As soon as she picked up the fuzzball, Cat Kotze realized that's precisely what it was. And I don't know. What did she say? Oh, fluffy creature. I realized it wasn't animated at all, and I picked it up, and obviously with the weight I could feel, and it wasn't a hedgehog or any animal. And there's a picture of it with the box. I put it back in the box and came out and said to the lady, "It's gone." No, she didn't say that. She said, "Actually, it's a bobble off a bobble hat."
Yeah, it's like a poof. Yeah. It's a poof that you would see on like a winter hat.
TCB 246 bobble hat. The animal lover was very embarrassed, according to... Of course, it spent $500.
I mean,
His puffball examined, asking whether the manager was joking before shuffling out of the hospital with her box and the bobble. She was very sweet. Bless her heart. Her heart was in the right place. According to the hospital manager, the animal lover had made the mistake by simply not looking closely enough at the hat embellishment. She gave it food. She gave it water.
Yeah, it was in a box, like with newspaper on the bottom.
Well, in case it had a shit.
How do you not notice there's like, it doesn't have a face or...
or weight.
Feet or anything.
She'd swept what she thought was the baby animal into a cardboard box. So she saw it and she was afraid to touch it. So she just got a box and laid it on its side and pushed it in there. It's like, oh, caught it without incident. But she lined with newspaper and stocked it with cat food.
That's what it was.
She tried to
was cat food in there.
She tried to keep her distance with the regular checkups and the animal throughout the night to allow it to recover. So she stayed up all night, probably worrying very about peaceful. This little hat ball.
Looked very peaceful.
Never allowing her. So it didn't jump out.
Didn't want to disturb it.
She probably got up and said, didn't escape.
This is fucked up.
Never allowing herself close enough to realize that it, just like you said, didn't have any ears. It didn't have any eyes. It didn't have any legs. It had no other animalistic features. Just one long thread coming out of its bottom. The weight of the bobble didn't seem to tip her off, though it was Kotze's first indication that she wasn't dealing with a hedgehog. I should have immediately known about the weight. A bobble weighs nothing, but bless her heart, was in the right place. I don't think she'll make the same mistake again. I think she'll check next time. The Lower Moss Wood Reserve and Wildlife Hospital shared the hilarious tale on Facebook over the weekend, saying the woman's overly good nature melted the heart of its staff. That's not anything that could be said.
About a friend of Craig's. That winter hat poof could have died if it wasn't.
Never would
have
survived. It's a golden rule that hedgehogs shouldn't be out in the daytime, especially ones like that. But she did absolutely the right thing, aside from the fact that it wasn't really a hedgehog. Too funny.
Oh, man.
And it has a picture of a lady holding a hedgehog, and she's got gloves, and she just swept it into a box.
She did. That poor thing.
Oh, well.
Poor hedgehog.
Mm.
All right. Going to friends at KSBW 8. I don't know. Where the fuck are we going? Let's see here. California? I'm going to California, I think. Let's see. Yeah, that sounds about right, right? Monterey. I'm going to Monterey. I've been to Monterey. It's a nice place. Very expensive. All right, here we are. CHP, California Highway Patrol, I'm going to assume, says imaginary friends don't count in the carpool lane. Bay Area. There it is. Bay Area driver busted. Person attempted to use an imaginary friend to evade tolls while driving the express lane on Interstate 880, police said. And there's a photo of a lady who put a hat on the headrest of the passenger seat. It would appear to be like a shirt of some sort that like draped over the front of the seat. The driver was pulled over Wednesday at about 3 p.m. on the north. I was wondering where you were in that process, leaving class now. Okay, see you in a bit. Thumbs up. The driver was pulled over Wednesday at about 3 p.m. in the northbound direction near Industrial Boulevard in Hayward. Kylie Musselman, a spokesman for the California Highway Patrol, told SF Gate. A photo posted to the CHP Hayward social media account shows a car's passenger seat dressed with a bucket hat on the headrest and a shirt on the upper portion of the seat. The officer stopped the driver because the fast track transponder on the car, the device that sends an electric signal for toll collection, indicated that there were three occupants in the vehicle, but the officer could clearly see there was only one, Musselman said. The Bay Area's express lane system, which laces some of the area's freeways, including the I-80, requires tolls during periods of heavy traffic. The dynamic pricing, which varies according to how many drivers are on the lane, can be as high as $15 in some places. Cars with more than one occupant are entitled to use a reduced toll, or they don't pay one at all. The I-880, three occupants on I-880, three occupants are required to escape toll charges completely, which drivers signal to the system through a setting on their fast-track devices, indicating that three people are in the car. I remember when we were going to D.C. and you were driving, there was a thing, you hit like a, you flipped a switch on your...
Yep.
We don't have that in Michigan. That's why our roads are shit. Musselman said one of the most common ways...
They just charge us for it. Oh, you want to go across the street? $30.
Muscle said one of the most common ways CHP sees people evading fast track is by changing the setting to three occupants when there's only one. When drivers notice officers, they will often change the device back to one and move out of the carpool lane. If the transponder is not set to the correct number of occupants, drivers face a citation of $238, CHP said in his Facebook post, and only real people count. Fair enough. Imaginary friends don't count as occupants when setting a fast-track transponder, CHP said in a Thursday news release. Yesterday, this driver thought he could outsmart our officers on patrol but failed. Musselman said CHP has also seen dummies and plastic skeletons as a way for single drivers to use the HOV carpool lane. In August, a Bay Area driver was busted for using a realistic-looking mannequin on in a Highway 101 carpool lane. On Highway 101, cheating drivers have become a growing concern between Palo Alto and San Francisco. South San Francisco, Peter Skinner, an executive officer at the San Mateo County Transportation Authority, recently told SF Gate, Skinner said it's difficult for cheating drivers to be caught because automatic cameras that could take photos of passengers inside of cars are illegal. Fast track evaders are caught by CHP officers, he said. This is long. The driver with the imaginary friend on Wednesday was caught by a CHP officer specifically assigned to look for carpool evaders, Musselman said. Yep, that's it. Okay. So that's that story. So in other words, you can't use an imaginary friend or dress up your passenger seat as a person to try to evade it. Eventually, you might get caught trying to pay lesser or no toll at all on the toll road in the carpool lane.
Well, you know, I know at one point they were around here, they were doing that to try to get by it. And they would buy those, you would actually buy those dummies and set them in there. And the HOV was two, and now they've increased to three in some spots because two, if they found, really wasn't enough. And people would buy these like mannequins and sit them in there. So, and yeah, I've got the switch on it, and the switch will do it. But they still have these things that read like that, saying how many people are in the car, and they'll verify. They're supposed to verify it. I'm not going to test it because I don't really want to, you know, mess with the fines and all that, only to find out.
Fair.
But
that's wild. It's one of the things with living in an area that has a lot of traffic, though, right? I mean, I could say certainly of Michigan is our traffic, depending on where you are, can suck, but not nearly that much. I-696, which we traveled on when the man was taking us to the wrong address on our way back from Detroit when you were here. that place, it's known locally as the parking lot because it connects I-9, what is it fucking connect? I don't know. There's a bunch of, there's I-975, I-96, I-93, it all connects them all. And so it can get really, really busy. But again, there's no carpool lanes. Just everybody is just psychotic and drives 95 or, you know, it just people are the, it's either you drive 95 or 5 on that.
Yeah.
Depending on the time of day.
Well, shit. Our last story. It's going to take us to our friends, the Babylon Bee. And this one seemed like it was pretty good because we always wonder about, like I mentioned earlier about mine, the vanilla every day, where they took the word Sunday. I guess supposed to have lactose and ice cream and shit in it, but I don't know that it really did. And you were even talking about the name of yours, the coffee chocolate. This one tells us that a dad lands a dream job at a brewery coming up with puns for naming beers. And I think that would be a good job as long as you could actually drink them to come up with them. Local dad Mark Carson landed his dream job this week at a brewery coming up with clever names for the new beers. Oh yeah, Carson said. I've been training for this my entire dad life. Can I come up with a grade A beer pun for new beverages? You bet I can. Just check out my latest magnum opus. It takes...
Robert Harrison. Please get in the shower now.
Oh, I forgot that. Sorry, I forgot it actually goes off in here, too.
It takes brew to tango. I'm a natural. Hopshank Redemption. Oh, you better believe that was my brainchild. Carson was hired at the local brewery, High West Brewery, to come up with clever puns for new drinks. 10 minutes into his new gig, Mark had named over 12 new beers, drawing on his years of dad jokes, making to christen each beverage with a creative, catchy, punny moniker. Among his crowning achievements are Pursuit of Hoppiness, Wheat the People, Lager, I barely knew her, Malter White, Hefeweizenberg, Brews Almighty, Ales Well That Ends Well, On the Road a Guinness, not to be confused with his other stroke of genius, Smart Alec Guinness, which I don't know, get either with us. Opportunity Knox, What You Talking Stout Willis, Beauty in the Yeast, Brood Awakening, Hop to Conclusion, and Jagged Little Pilsner. As a publishing nice. Time, Mark had been prompted or promoted to Chief Naming Officer. He's the CNO. Had it named over 200 new beers in his first week on the job. Huh, pretty good. Some of those good names are good.
I mean, I would drink some of those.
Yeah, well, like I'm drinking the Biggie S'mores right now. That's a perfect example of that.
Yeah, it could have been him. Maybe he named that one. Did. You never know. Probably. You never know.
Oh, shit.
Is this woke home defense? Ooh. That's funny.
Well, that's episode 246.
It is.
I don't know what it'll be called yet. I'll be texting you on Sunday asking you to choose between two, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
It's going to be a great episode with a great name.
It will.
That's what we know for sure.
Too funny. Well, shit. Well, I already said that. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, well, shit.
Possibly next week, but maybe not. I think next week's probably good. It might be the week after when you're traveling that might be a troublesome thing. You might want to sleep.
Maybe. Maybe.
We'll see.
See you guys later.
All right, bye.
This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. Oh, words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com. Stop being a little bitch and just own up and do it.